How are you?
Oh, I'm better, thank you. A lot better than I was.
I'm glad to hear it.
Right, okay. Now, how's the clarity of sound and volume at your end of the phone?
That's fine, David.
Okay, good. It's okay with me too. Well, I'm just opening up your note page, Gary. Coaching Sessions, Gary Phillips. Whilst I'm doing that, why don't you just bring me up to date? Where are we following our last session?
Right, we ended off the last session. Basically, you were saying over the next number of weeks and months, we need to be looking at four things. We were looking at defining more clearly the ideal client profile.
Yes.
We needed to look at defining the ideal client's problems.
Yes.
What solutions I could provide to help them.
Yeah.
What are my geniuses?
Okay.
The two things to work on specifically were the client analysis and also finding out from the local business centres the number of businesses.
Yes.
Within a radius.
Okay.
The first one I have finished, which is the client analysis.
Hey, well done.
Long last.
Wonderful.
Well, it frightened the life out of me, to be quite honest.
Poor Gary, what am I doing to you? In what way?
Well, it just, staring out of the screen at me is just how wafer thin my business is.
Right.
And business with a very small B. And it also showed me, that I seem to be working with groups of people that I didn't realise I was working with as many retired folks as I am.
Is that right?
Mm.
Okay. How easy would it be for you to get that analysis across to me? Is that a difficult job? Or?
Not at all. That will be across to you this afternoon.
Okay.
I'll get that across to you this afternoon.
All right.
The second one, to be honest with you, I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I can do that. I can do that by the end of this week. I've been off for a while, so just sort of getting back in the hot seat.
All right. Let's just go through this analysis again.
Yeah.
All right. So, scared the life out of you. And tell me the sort of things that came out of it that told you this is the reality of your business. What exactly did you see?
Well, predominantly the age groups are falling between 50 and anything up to 65, 70, like even beyond 70.
So was there a batching together or a clustering of age groups, or did it spread evenly between 50 and whatever it was, 75 to 80?
No, I wouldn't say it would spread evenly.
Okay.
I would say it's maybe two-thirds prior to retirement and a third after it. So I just didn't realise I had that many folks. I thought they were all sort of pre-retirement.
Right. Okay.
But the other thing as well that I realised, sadly, is that there's a lot of clients there that I'm not servicing properly, and I'm not comfortable with that.
Okay.
There's a bit of a moral dilemma in there. There are folks that aren't particularly, all that lucrative, but at the same time, going to be difficult to service, and I'm not sure that where I want to take the business, that these folks represent a good fit.
Sure, okay.
But at the same time, I'm concerned if I don't have them and the money coming in,
yeah,
I could have no business.
Okay.
So I'm betwixt and between a bit.
Yes. So it may be, what you seem to be saying, it may be that I need to put together a service which does not consume lots of my time, but does represent some caring and some communication to keep them warm until I build a new profile of client which actually is far more lucrative, profitable, and is worthwhile working with. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel that I have a responsibility to these folks, and whilst they're not, I don't believe I'm at the stage where I can start to release them, perhaps.
No.
Gradually I would like to phase that in,
yeah,
in the nicest possible way, of course.
Yes.
I do genuinely want to make sure that they are looked after, and I'm just concerned that it's the usual dilemma, David. As you say, new clients, you only want specific types instead of I'm clogging the system with them.
Sure. How many, in the analysis, what's the total number of clients we're talking about?
Total number of clients, we're talking just over 40.
Okay. So if the service was effectively structured without consuming masses of time, this is not a huge group to give a service to, but you still feel that with your method of working, you're still not giving them a service that...
No, I'm not reaching them.
Okay. If you said to me 400, I would have, you know, said, well, that's a bit of a challenge. So you've got 40 people. And of those 40, which of those do you think on an ongoing monthly and annual basis are really valuable clients?
You would say, well, how do you classify valuable? Do you mean monetary terms?
Let's be really commercially brutal for the moment. And we'll talk about other values later on.
Okay. I would say you really are... where I want to take us, I would say I'd be looking to retain maybe a dozen of these folks.
Okay. So commercially, about 12 of these clients probably make you a profit?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you may wonder, where did your 90-odd thousand turnover come from if you've only 40 clients?
Yeah.
The figures that I've recorded here, David, are all investment and pension clients that pay recurring income.
Okay.
And so I've included total revenue, recurrent revenue. I've stripped out totally all the mortgage business, all the protection business, which you do.
Right.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think that's what I'm looking for. I mean, what would be nice to have, okay, as a second layer of this, is let's have a spreadsheet showing the investment and pension people, because that's where you're continuing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be nice to know in your current revenue stream how much of your time is sucked up with looking after, dealing with, communicating with people who are not in that particular mould, like your mortgage, your protection people. Because if I can see that as well, that these people are there, then I know that some of them are consuming time. That makes sense.
So, just to clarify,
yeah.
This, you see, I can tell you from a monetary point of view, you know, because it's just a case of deducting from my overall revenue,
yeah.
What you know, this figure here that I've got for my investment, so I would know pretty much straight away how much is committed, how much in monetary terms comes from mortgage business and protection business.
I also want to see how many people that represents in the last 12 months. Is that a difficult figure to get? How many transactions have you done which creates non-pension, non-investment business with how many people?
It shouldn't be... obviously, there'll be an overlap because these folks have done... these folks have done protection business with
sure.
These folks that are on this list here.
Yeah. It will be quite easy for us to see from the spreadsheet who's given revenue, who's delivered revenue to the business in the last 12 months, and then who's delivered recurrent revenue to the business,
yes.
And that will begin to separate out one group from the other. So, okay, I think the categories I've given you on the spreadsheet should actually begin to help me separate out where the real value is coming from.
Now, should I, just without wanting to confuse the issue here, I have these 40-odd investment clients.
Yeah.
Within the total revenue for the last 12 months, I have also included in there protection business that those 40 clients have done.
That's
is that
right.
useful or is that confusing?
No, that's fine. That's fine. I really want to know where all of your last 12 months' revenue has come from, and then I want to know how much of that revenue is a recurrent type of revenue.
Right. Well, I've got all the recurrent revenue itemized, so that's all stripped out. Do you need to know individually then what protection business has come from who?
No, I don't. I just need to have all the names of all your clients, all of them.
All?
Yeah. So
including protection?
Including protection. I just want to know who they are. And what that helps tell me is in the last 12 months what your behaviour pattern has been and where you've been spending your time. I don't mean where you should be spending your time, but where you have been spending your time. And that also tells me things like age groups that you've been dealing with, even if it's been mortgage business, location that you've been in. I just need an overall picture of where's all this stuff come from. And I can then easily see with you, and in the future, where do we want it to come from. But I need to know what's happened in the last 12 months.
Right.
I need to see where people have been wasting time. I'll give you an example of this. When I was speaking with Simon Holdsworth down in Cornwall, he put all the clients there, not just the clients he ideally wanted to deal with, and all of their locations. What that told us within the exercise was that whatever the type of business they gave to him, and whether they wanted, he wanted to stay with them in the future or not, the fact is that in the last 12 months of his life, he travelled across 5 counties to get his business, and 83% of the value of that business came from one county.
Right.
It's that kind of story that I want to emerge.
Okay. So we need to be looking at all income from all
clients. Income from all clients.
All clients.
And all of those columns need to have something in them. So, you know, where was the source of the business? How were they introduced to you? I just want to see the overall picture of where things have been happening in the last 12 months, rather than guess it.
Right.
Okay. If you say to me, I reckon about 50% of my time has been wasted on transactional clients, I'll sit here cynically not believing that until I see the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I want to see some evidence here. And what's interesting about today's conversation is you've already said to me, I was surprised that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to continue being more surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's part. That's really important part of the analysis.
Okay.
Where am I currently spending my energy time that in the future Dave and I might decide this is how much time, energy and cost I could save the business by not doing this anymore.
Right. Okay.
If you said to me, for example, I'm exhausted, but only 2 of my 70 clients are transactional clients, I think, blimey, I now don't see why this guy's exhausted, so we'd have to look deeper. If you said to me, however, I've got 70 clients and I'm exhausted because I'm travelling an average of 35 to 50 miles per client, I'd then begin to think, no, I know why the guy's exhausted.
Yes.
Yeah, so I need all that to come out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
And I do believe, and this is just a view from other experiences, that as you put everything there, you're going to be even more surprised than you already are.
Okay.
And that, you know, I can't predict that, but past experience teaches me that. All right. Do you have any story being told about you've had a story there about age groups. Do you have any story being told by your your analysis about location, where people are?
I don't tend to travel beyond 20 miles, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
Which
is great.
So, you get an odd one, 30 miles, 35.
Yeah.
That's about it. Not enough to even make a...
Is there a story there about source of business, where the business actually came from?
There certainly is.
Okay. How does that pan out?
Right. I worked locally for a high street bank before I started out 4 years ago.
Right.
And it's been a mix of it's basically all client referral. I've had some clients that have basically, you know, moved across with me.
Yes.
So... and I also have, it's all client referral, so at the minute there's no structure for networking,
right.
No professional introducers has only really kicked off within the last couple of months.
Okay.
Trying to think here, you're talking literally a handful, 95% of my business has come from word of mouth, from client referral.
Okay, well, would you mind if I made a comment on that?
No, at all.
Right now? I wouldn't beat yourself up about that, because if you get the right nature of client referral from the right client, then that could actually be a brilliant thing. It certainly is a lot easier on the business and on your energy to not have to court professional introducers, to not have to network, to not have to run around all over the internet and social networking, if the right quality of client was giving you the right quality of referral on a consistent basis.
I was under the impression, David, that working with professional introducers and networking, I mean, I thought that it was pretty much a given that you need to be doing these things.
I think the quality of business that can come from professional introducers can be really, really, really high, because they tend to You know, the bigger the practice and the more serious they are as a business, they tend obviously to weed out the time wasters and the guys who are window cleaners and tend to deal with more and more wealthy clients. That's what they want for them, and therefore if they're going to introduce them to you, that's what you want for you. Mm-hmm. However, I would say that I have one or two clients, and I've had clients in the past, where when they got the model right of their service, point number one, when they got the model right of the person who would be the ideal client, when they articulated that to their existing ideal clients, and only the ideal clients, that those ideal clients understood so clearly what this guy wanted, what each of these people wanted to deal with, and what they would be doing with those people, that they then started introducing ideal clients. And I'm talking about clients with £1 million, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Which every accountant would be over the moon to be able to introduce to you.
Right.
So if you have already within your sphere some ideal clients to whom you deliver brilliant service and have a consistent process of not just word of mouth, but quality referral and introductions, where there actually is a process there. It's a system. It's a, you know, it's not something that just happens by accident.
Yeah.
If that is developed in your business, then it's so much easier than any other method that there is. And the reason for the other methods, professional introducers, business networking, social networking, and all this other stuff, is because many businesses like yours might not have, number one, ideal clients in the first place, in the way that you'd like them to be, and number two, has no method of getting those ideal clients to introduce people to them.
Yes.
Therefore, they are forced to all the other methods, like seminars, like, yeah. So I think, let me give you a phrase here, which will kind of spell out what I'm trying to say. Cold calling is the universe's punishment for not having a referral method.
Yes.
Now, I know you're not cold calling. I know we're not saying you should be cold calling, but all the other methods are almost like a punishment for there not being lots and lots of ideal clients delivering to you lots and lots of ideal clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you with me?
Yeah.
So I think we start with, is it possible for Gary in his business to develop ideal clients from ideal clients? If it's not yet, then we need to work on the other methods. Can you see where I'm coming from?
Yes,
there?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Which means that you have to analyse who are my ideal clients. Not guess at it, but analyse it. So I'm not unhappy that almost 95% have been word-of-mouth client referrals, but I know that's not been through a process or a system.
No, it's not.
And that's what I'm unhappy about.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, anything else you discovered from your analysis?
Yes. The thing that I've discovered is basically quite a lot of my recurring income is coming from clients that have below 100,000.
Okay.
And we talked the last day about the profiling and looking at anybody above 100,000, really.
Right.
The minimum.
Okay.
So it was more or less a bit, took me aback a wee bit with regard to the work that I have to do.
Yes.
But really, the thing that concerned me most of all was that I realised, because of the way the business has gone, that those clients are not really being looked after. And it was more the moral dilemma. It's just more or less where do we begin? Was
okay.
The thing that was concerning me.
Right.
The thing that's been concerning me over the last month was so much of my income is dependent on protection business, and I'm wondering, how do I make this transition?
Yeah.
Without bankrupting the business?
Yeah.
How do I turn this big ship around?
It's a huge, it's a small ship, it just feels big to you because you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's actually a very tiny ship. But if you've got a pen there.
I have.
Okay. Rule number one, don't drop the cash flow ball.
Okay.
Just because Dave Scarlett suddenly inspires you of something that you suddenly go, whoopee, that's amazing, don't drop the cash flow ball.
Okay.
So if you have to sell protection for the moment, then go and sell protection. Okay? Until, in the background, we've developed the following things. Number one, a clear analysis of where the value of your current business comes from. Where the best value for you comes from. Number two, a clear definition and written description of your ideal client. Number three, a clear list of their top three burning problems. Number four, a clear summary of the solutions that you can deliver to those ideal problems.
Okay.
Next, a clear summary of the solutions that someone else could deliver to those ideal problems. Just doesn't have to be you.
Okay.
But you orchestrate it. You become an orchestrator, a facilitator.
Okay.
Number five, a clear understanding of how you would easily reach that ideal client. And I do mean easily. And if the answer is when you've got your ideal client written down that you can't easily reach them, then that's the wrong ideal client. You need to rethink.
Okay.
So if, for example, you said, I want to deal with 60-year-olds to 65-year-olds with one leg and who live within a 10-mile radius of my home, that's not a problem because that's a really clear target market. As long as you know, how do you reach them easily? Where do one-legged 60-year-olds go? And what's their watering hole? And where do they communicate? And where do they gather? And who can help me reach them? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, I'll give you an example of that. Down on the south coast in the southern team, Robin has clearly defined in Worthing, on the south coast of West Sussex, a target market. And because they are clearly all retirees, you'd expect them to be in a seaside town. That's what he's aiming for. He understands how to reach them through gatekeepers like specialist estate agents or whatever it may be, or provisions of services to the newly retired.
Right.
So it's not difficult for him in Worthing to identify what organizations deal with, try and sell to or market to the incoming purchasers of house in Worthing because they've recently retired.
Right.
So he can find more easily how to reach them without enormous effort and cost. Does that make sense?
That does.
Now, whilst you're beavering away paying the bills, you don't drop the cash flow.
Yeah.
But until you get this stuff organized in the background, I can't help you get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not sure who them is. And what the client analysis does is it does two things. It identifies where you're wasting your time and energy, and it helps us understand, right, as we work on the ideal, who do we stop wasting our time with, and where do we stop wasting our time on a transition basis? So we put one brick on this wall and we take one brick off that wall. Are you following me on this? Yeah. Unless you know where to take the bricks off, then you haven't a clue what to stop doing.
That's right.
Unless you know who's wasting your time for very little money, you won't know what service to offer them. Now, the beauty about the client analysis is it also does this. It does two more things. It identifies who might be brilliant clients on which to build a referral process. And there may only be 3 out of 40. And what that then does is it forces you to say, right, now I've worked out who all my clients are and what their you know, what their value is to the business, I can start segmenting now. I can start saying, you know what, these fall briefly, simply into three kind of categories. Those who deliver to me more than £2,000 a year, those who deliver to me between £1,500 and £800, and those deliver who actually potentially might make a loss. And you can begin categorising, or you could say, actually, I don't want to think about it that way, I want to think about it this way. There are three categories of ages here: those who are actually in retirement, those who are on the point of retirement, and those who are still in there running their small businesses, getting sick and tired of it. And what that does is it forces you to say, right, what services can David and I now design without killing ourselves that would be appropriate for the lowest grade, appropriate for the middle grade, and appropriate for the absolutely wonderful clients that I want to give lots and lots of TLC to. And then we develop simple services for the lowest grade that will take little of your time, and develop wonderful services for the highest grade who need loads of you, and we decide how you deliver that. So the client analysis does all sorts of things. It stops you kidding yourself, it stops you lying to yourself, it tells you the truth. It helps you to see where to stop spending time in the future. It helps you to see who deserves more of your time, and then we design services that you're already probably delivering, but you're doing it in a haphazard way, where we refocus your energy on the people who deserve your energy, and you give something, but not energy and time, to those who need something from you.
Right.
To stop you feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. You see where I'm going with this?
I realised that already there were, you know, you can start to see the potential for, you know, I was thinking, how much of my income is generated from the top 10 clients?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've read somewhere recently that you should be spending 80% of your time with your top 20% of clients.
And eventually that's exactly where we're heading. You really will have to be spending 80%, because if you're not, then that's not a clever business model.
Yeah.
First of all, I need to have a copy of the analysis to help you identify what do we mean by top clients. Who do we want to be in that category? And you and I can look at that analysis, make a very clear decision, and then in the autumn start saying, how do I work with those clients that will make them so excited about giving me quality referrals? But you have to earn that right.
Okay.
And if you're doing nothing for them, you're never going to get a quality referral. Do you follow?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I need to see the analysis, and then we need to start talking about what does that tell us, and what does that tell us to stop doing, and what does that tell us to start doing more of?
David, the analysis that I've done for the funds under management,
yeah.
Would you like me to send that through in any event?
Yeah, or do it anyway.
The second spreadsheet will have basically the same information on the top half of it, and then just put the protection on the bottom half.
Got it. Okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
Can you do that before I go on holiday?
When do you head away?
I'm here until the last day in July, then I'm away until 1st September.
Last day of July. We're at the 20th now,
yeah? Yeah, 21st.
Yes, I will. I'll
Is
have
that okay?
Before then.
Very good. So let's work on this, and I'll give you some homework to do in the summer, mm-hmm. in August, in parallel with you just going out and making some money.
Okay.
And then by the autumn, we should be building this profile. We should be building, so what exactly is the service that I'm supposed to be delivering? And then during the winter, we'll then start communicating with these people to start getting their, earning the right to ask for quality referrals. And what you'll find is by the winter, by the time we hit Christmas, all this stuff will have been written down, because you'll have to write it down so that you can communicate it with me, and then we can start communicating with professional introducers. This is who I work with, this is what we do for them, and this is how we do it. And until you can do that, a professional introducer really hasn't got the time of day to talk to you.
Well, this is the thing I've been conscious of. I don't want to go about it a haphazard way,
yeah.
And I want to do it the correct way. So
learn from Nigel Barker-Smith in Morley in Leeds, who came to me and nearly lost the plot and lost his own business in trying to get excited about what I'm teaching him, who now is, you know, a new model advisor, cover star, who's a life planner as well as a financial planner, who's got a nice little business, building very nicely, thank you very much, affords long weekends every 2 weeks away in Scotland with his family. You know, he has a nice lifestyle. Not rich, but it's right for him and his family. And, you know, the recurrent income is building up gradually, nice and neatly, thank you very much. But he learnt the lesson. Don't let the cash flow drop while you're getting excited.
Right.
Is that okay?
I'll bear that in mind.
Good talking to you.
And you too, dear.
Take care.
Thanks again. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.